Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Brothers and sisters, good morning. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. It is Saturday, the 2nd of February of 2019. Today is the feast day of the Presentation of Our Lord. We read in the scriptures that 40 days after his birth, he was brought, according to custom, to the temple by Mary and Joseph, as is customary for the firstborn, and presented to the Lord. Of course, he himself is the Lord, but he shows here the importance of the following the prescriptions, the fulfillment, really, of what these prescriptions of the old law were, because everything in the rituals of the Old Testament points us to Christ and the dedication, consecration, presentation of the child before God in Jesus Christ represents the consecration that we are all called to have to God, first and foremost by our baptism into Jesus Christ. Christ belongs to God, the Son belongs to the Father, totally united with and equal to the Father in every way. And by baptism, by our consecration to God in Jesus Christ, we become his sons and daughters. We do everything through him, with him, and in him for the glory of God the Father. Now, I'm going to talk to you today about the opposite of consecration, that is, satanic ritual of abortion. And then I want to tell you something about what I am planning to do. But the point here about consecration, that today, the Feast of the Presentation, is also in the Catholic community the World Day of Consecrated Life, because there are some people in the church who want to live a lifestyle that involves more of the renunciation of the things of this world to be a sign and a foreshadowing of the next world, where, as Scripture says, God will be all in all. God is our spouse. God is our possession. A union with God's will is our joy. And so by a life of poverty, chastity, and obedience, many people live the consecrated life. It's a deepening. It's a fuller version, if you will, of the consecration that we all have to God in Christ by our baptism. But you know them as religious sisters and brothers, religious priests, those who belong to various religious congregations, the Salesians, the Dominicans, the Jesuits, the religious sisters of many different kinds, many of whom wear their habit. These are people who are following Christ in a deeper way. They're trying to imitate him in a more profound way, and in doing that are carrying out a special mission or a special charism in the church. So the Salesians, and when I was in college seminary, I belonged to the Salesian community. The Salesians have a special charism of working with young people. And on it goes, various charisms for working for the poor and working in the area of education or working in the area of evangelization. I was in consecrated life, as I said, myself in a temporary way when I was in college seminary. I've always felt also the call to follow Christ in that more radical way. I was led, of course, by circumstances and God's prompting to the diocesan priesthood, which I've been living now for 30 years. But, of course, as you all well know, in that calling to the priesthood, I have also experienced consistently over the last 26 years the calling to devote myself fully to the unborn, to saving them from the violence of abortion. And so I have been exploring within the church, how can we make a dedication like this, a consecration like this, permanent, not only for people like me who feel this call, but for others as well, priests and others within the church. Because if entire religious congregations have arisen for the sake of feeding the poor, welcoming the homeless, and ministering to the sick and educating the young. Certainly the mission of saving children from being slaughtered by abortion is worthy of a similar effort. In fact, it's worthy of an even greater effort. So I myself have already been living in this way, dedicating, consecrating every waking moment to the defense of the unborn, and doing it in the context of a spirituality, which is Catholic, doing it in the context of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so I have the desire to even deepen this consecration and make this even more of my way of following God in Christ. As I say, I'm already doing that, but seeking the recognition of the church in a deeper way for that particular calling, not simply to be a diocesan priest, but to be a priest consecrated to God for the mission of defending the unborn. And fortunately, I have found the support within the church that I need from church authorities to do this. And I want to ask for your continued support and prayers. Nothing is different in terms of the work that I'm doing. It continues the same. In fact, that's the reason why I want to put it on this more stable basis within the church, so that we can continue to serve the unborn and serve you and all who are in the pro-life movement by helping you to live out pro-life as a calling, as a spirituality, or as whatever kind of effort you can give to it, whatever kind of time and resources you can direct in that way to helping to save the unborn. As I always say, I'm grateful for all the work that all of you do, and in this great movement, there is nothing more important. So I am committed to be doing this work with you for as long as it takes. Certainly nothing is going to take me off the path of continuing to dedicate and consecrate myself to God for the unborn. As I say, I have now the support within the church to continue to pursue this path. I'm committed as a human being to pursuing it. And that's first and foremost, as I was saying in recent days, where this calling is rooted. It is in the fact that we are human that we feel the call and that we know the imperative of protecting human babies. It's because we're human. We can't be a decent human being and turn the other way when children are being killed. So when we have the opportunity to devote ourselves in a deeper and fuller way to saving those children, well, then we have the duty to do so. So let's continue on this path together. Now, let me talk to you about the opposite of consecration, and that is satanic sacrifice. This is a little booklet. In the back of the booklet is a signed letter from me endorsing the message that it contains. It is a booklet written by Mr. Zachary King. Zachary is a man who spent over 26 years in organized Satanism. And he wrote this book. He's been converted. He's become a faithful Catholic. He was converted through a devotion to the Blessed Mother and her miraculous medal. But he wrote this booklet, and it's also in CD form, Abortion is a Satanic Sacrifice. I'm going to read some very disturbing paragraphs from this book. Let me warn you in advance, it'll just be astonishing to you. Abortion is a Satanic Sacrifice is meant to expose what is at the core, what is at the root of abortion. He also exposes the many different organizations, national and international, that feed into the abortion industry. You know, we're wondering why in these days, or how does it make any sense that people would push for laws like were passed in New York to abort babies even to the day of birth, or even to kill them after they come out of the womb if they are born alive after a failed abortion attempt. People wonder, where is this bloodlust coming from? And although not everybody involved in this is aware of what we're about to hear, at the root, spiritually, and in the practice of some people at the core of this abortion industry, is satanic sacrifice. Let me read it in Zachary's own words. When I was almost 14, I was part of a large satanic coven. A group of males, 15 years old and younger, had a sleepover at an adult female's house. My parents thought I was staying the night at a friend's house. The purpose of the sleepover was to impregnate the female for a satanic spell that was to take place approximately 9 months from then. Fast forward 9 months into the future. And now I'm about 3 months before turning 15, and the entire coven has met for this spell. I'm going to try to paint the most vivid picture I can of that night. I want you to feel like you're watching what I'm saying. You need to understand the gravity of what I'm saying to you. To simply tell you a spell happened or an abortion took place would not do justice to the story. Abortion is a satanic sacrifice, and now I'm going to tell you why I say that. Once again, for those of you that are just joining us, this is from the book of Zachary King, Abortion is a Satanic Sacrifice. Now, hold on just 1 minute. I want to make sure we're okay with the equipment here. Yes, we are. All right. You're not going to believe this. As I said before, I'm almost 15. It's a Saturday night, and all the members of the coven had gathered at one of the members' ranch. We are in a large building on the ranch. It was really one large room with a fireplace in it, and two smaller rooms side by side at one end of the building. I've been to the building before at a Christmas party when I was 10 or 11 years old. Back then I didn't know what a coven was, and I still had some innocence about me. I've been in this room since about 9 p.m. We all had snacks about 8 p.m. at the main house. Most people arrived in groups. At 9 p.m. I'm walking around watching what everyone else is doing. Most people are praying or meditating, and a few are engaged in sexual activity. By 10 p.m., everyone has on their ceremonial robes, or they have stripped down to what they will be now wearing for the ceremony. At midnight, a parchment is read that has the spell's intention. Then everyone separates into his or her section. 50 females, ranging from about 15 to 60, are kneeling nude on the floor, starting up a chant of "Our bodies, ourselves." They will continue this chant till the sacrifice at 3 a.m. There is a small group, 10 to 12 kids, 3 to 10 years old, that are in a room praying to Satan for the intention of the group. Really, this group is just in training, so they are back at the main house watching movies or cartoons and coloring. But they are wearing costumes of the different robes of black or red and enjoying the party. 13 adults are muttering spells under their breath, and all this activity as well will continue until 3 a.m. By the way, if a child is able to stay awake till 3 a.m., they will be given a special prize for being able to do so. I've been instructed to walk around and observe all the groups. So from about midnight until 2, I sat with the 13 adults, the kids, and the women on the floor. Then I was instructed to ready myself. This was a big deal for me. These ceremonies happened quite often within our group, but this was my first time attending and my first murder, so I was excited. At 2 a.m., the 13 top coven members stood in a semicircle around the woman who had been impregnated 9 months before. That woman was in a hospital gown, laying on a birthing table with her feet up in stirrups. The 13 have a quiet spell being chanted over and over. At approximately 2:45 a.m., I'm standing in the semicircle with a doctor. He asks me if I'm ready and if I've been practicing. I answer yes to both. For the last 2 to 4 weeks, I worked on stabbing a mango, an avocado, a boiled egg, and a ball of Play-Doh with a scalpel. I did not see what I was doing as killing a baby, but I did recognize that I was taking a life or murdering a person, at least that first time. After this, it was explained to me about killing innocents and hurting God. At 3 a.m., I'm dressed in a red robe with my cowl raised. I have on surgical gloves and mask. The doctor is next to me dressed as a doctor. He wasn't just dressed as a doctor, though. I personally knew him as a real doctor. The spell is broken, spoken the final time, and then offering is made. I insert the scalpel carefully into the young lady. I've been told to be careful and gentle. We have a sacrifice to make, but I am not to hurt the messenger or the carrier. At this point, the baby is in the birth canal. I stab carefully a few times into the woman with the scalpel. I still do not know if either the baby or mother had ingested any meds to assist in the abortion or not, and I'm not even sure if I was successful in where I was stabbing, so I was nervous at the time. When I extracted my hand, the scalpel and glove were bloody. The doctor then took over. I stood there trembling. It was a huge adrenaline rush for me. I had committed my first murder, the first of 146 abortions, and it was legal. The doctor finished up, then inserted forceps that looked like scissors with a curved part to go inside the woman, and it had jagged teeth. I stood by the 13 members. We are no longer in a semicircle now. We are facing the women on the floor who are still kneeling, swaying, making a humming or buzzing sound with eyes rolled back in their heads and wild grimaces on their faces as if in a state of demonic ecstasy. The doctor finishes the procedure, then tears the baby apart and throws baby parts out onto the floor. In the midst of all the women, they immediately pounce on all the parts, fighting for them and devouring them. They cannibalized everything but the bones. All the females, in a possessed blood frenzy, start on a sex orgy, which everyone in the room joins in on. I'm showered and back in my street clothes by 6 a.m. and I've snuck back into my house by 7 a.m., just in time for my parents to wake me up and my brother and have us get ready and go to church. Zachary King, former high wizard, Satanist, in his book, Abortion is a Satanic Sacrifice. If you want a copy of this, let me know. I have send you the book and the CD. Email me at orders@priestforlife.org. Zachary sent me a couple of signed copies of this, and he says in the beginning of it, let's keep kicking Satan in the butt. You know, I always say in this pro-life effort, the word abortion has lost all its meaning. People know in some kind of vague way, well, it ends a pregnancy. Abortion has lost its meaning, however, because people don't know how it ends a pregnancy. It doesn't wave a magic wand. It's not a big eraser. It's not a time machine that goes back before the baby was conceived. It's a violent act. And you can know that it's a violent act by reading the medical textbook descriptions of decapitation and dismemberment involved in an abortion procedure. And then you can get to yet another level. Abortion has really lost its meaning Because how many of us don't realize that things like I just read to you have taken place, and only God knows how much more they take place. All we can say is, Lord, have mercy. And I go back to what I was saying to you before, consecration. We're called to be consecrated to God. I have dedicated and offered my life and ministry for the saving of these unborn children. I will not depart from that course, from that track, from that commitment, not one tiny iota for all of my life. And we need, brothers and sisters, to each find from God the calling He has put on us to do everything that He wants us to do, to expose and bring an end to this violence. Paul says to the Ephesians, Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless works of darkness, but rather expose them. You see, that's what Zachary is doing by sharing this testimony. This could have been just a bad memory in his mind, which he tried to forget about as he tried to get on with his life. But no, he's following the admonition of St. Paul. Have nothing more to do with the fruitless works of darkness. Zachary was involved in some very, very dark works. Paul says, expose them. And that's why I thank him for exposing, shining the light on these activities by means of this testimony. Zachary is blind now. And I know he would appreciate your prayers as he continues, nevertheless, in his blindness, to speak, to share his testimony, to travel. We can help him by getting this book out. Email me at orders@priestsforlife.org. And let's pray together now. Lord God, we are astonished at this evil, this wickedness of abortion, and the Satanism that surrounds it. We are horrified at what Zachary has said in his testimony. We are horrified at what the abortion advocates continue to do, not caring, clearly not caring, about babies, no matter how far developed they are in the womb, advocating abortion until the very day of birth, and indeed, Lord God, even killing these babies after they are born. Have mercy on us. Give us the strength to come together, to speak up, to expose this evil, to put into public office those who are willing to stop this violence, and to continue to minister to moms and dads that are afraid to be moms and dads, to continue to minister to those who have had abortions or, like Zachary, have been involved in committing them, and now seek your forgiveness, healing, and peace. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Make us instruments of life. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. You want to get involved in the effort to stop all of this? Endabortion.us is our main website. We have so many activities going on, so many things you can get involved in, so many things you can do, so much information you can pass along. Endabortion.us. I ask you to go there, spend some time looking around, visit the different pages, look at the different facets of our ministry, endabortion.us, and contact us. Our team will help you to discern what role God wants you to play in the great pro-life movement, the most urgent movement of our time, to put an end to the violence, indeed to the satanic sacrifice of abortion. I look forward to hearing from you. Endabortion.us. I will be back again tonight at 9 p.m. for another broadcast, so please tune in. Spread the word. This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life, and now may the Lord bless and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.